maximize your singlehood for the advancement of God as God develops you for the advancement of his kingdom, for the betterment of yourself, and you're not to let something that you don't have own you.
I'm really excited about today's message, geared primarily to singles and what it looks like when you become a single who represents the King and the Kingdom of God. This is Dr. Tony Evans with The Urban Alternative, and I'm so delighted to be coming to you with this message on becoming a Kingdom single. How do you operate while you're single as a representative of the King in his kingdom? And how do you do it victoriously and successfully? Well, scriptures have something to say about that. And that's where I want you to join me today. And even if you're not single, you know folks who are. So you can help them become the kind of single God intended them to be. So let's get into God's word and find out what kingdom singlehood ought to look like. See, we have far too many single Christians who don't know their value. And so they're willing to reduce their value price and go cheap, when if they thought about it long enough and hard enough and more biblically, they would understand that God's view of singlehood is a lot different than the value that's been placed on it, both by the world and, unfortunately, I confess, by the church. There is a major emphasis on marriage in the church, as there ought to be. But not enough attention is given to what it means to be a kingdom single. So many of the church's programs are geared toward marriage couples because marriages are needing strengthening today. We're dealing with a growing reality of an expanding population of single Christians. Chapter 7, most of the chapter is talking about singlehood. Of 1 Corinthians. He talks about marriage and he talks about singlehood. And he talks to those who have never been married, those who want to be married, and those who want to be remarried. He speaks to all of those groups in chapter 7, and he wants to give you God's view, that is the kingdom view, of singlehood. Well, Paul has a word for singlehood today, and it's not what you might think it is. Let's check with Paul and see what he has to say. Paul starts off wanting you to know something in verse 24. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in the condition in which he was called. Now that's going to introduce a discussion of singlehood and marriage. But what I want to catch your attention to as we get into this, if he calls your condition, whether married or single, tied to a call. He says, I want you to remain with God in the state in which you were called. Have you ever thought about your singlehood or the fact that you're married even as a calling? That is, as a divinely ordained state, not just a physical, relational state. He says, when you come to me called, I don't want you to arbitrarily try to switch states. In other words, I don't want you to reduce where I have you. I just want you to hang out with me in the state you're in. He says, with God. See, the problem is, both in marriage and specifically with singlehood, we've defined those states without God, and because we've defined the states without God, the states become a problem. We've got folks here today, as in most churches, who are like flies on a screen window. Some are inside trying to fly out, and some are outside trying to fly in. Because they're in their state without a proper understanding of being with God in that particular state.
So with that in mind, he says, now concerning virgins, I have no command but the Lord, but I give you an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. Now, I know some of you read that and said, well, I don't have to really pay that much attention to this sermon because Paul's just giving me his opinion. So let me help you with that. The word opinion means judgment. When he says, I'm giving you my judgment and not the Lord's, what he's saying is when Jesus was on earth, he didn't discuss what I'm getting ready to discuss. He left that for me to discuss. So let me give you my judgment. The word opinion means judgment on behalf of the Lord. In other words, Jesus didn't discuss it, but I am discussing it. And of course, it's part of the word of God. So it is authoritative from the apostle Paul. He states, first of all, concerning virgins. Because in the biblical worldview, if you were unmarried, you were not sexually active. The two kind of went side by side. To be unmarried meant to not be sexually active. And thus, he says, I say this concerning virgins. Then he says, I think that this is good in view of the present distress, all the problems out here. They were going through certain persecutions there. He says there's so much mess, so many problems. It's good for a man to remain as he is. And then he asks a question. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. In other words, he says, don't go running after folk. He's not talking about healthy relationships. He's not talking about making friends. He's not talking about that. He's talking about illegitimately just going to find somebody to marry. He says, don't go running after a wife. And if you're married, don't go trying to get rid of one. Okay? He says both. And the reason he says it is because of the distress. See, you've got problems on either side. If you're married, he says, you're bound. If you're single, he says, you're celibate. Both have issues. Okay? He says, on the married side, you're bound. The word bound means, we would say, handcuffed. Okay? If you are married, you're handcuffed. In other words, you are bound to a mate. He says, if you are single, in fact, let me show you the verse. He says down here in verse 32, but I want you to be free from concern. He says, the benefit of singlehood is freedom. He says, marriage puts handcuffs on you. You are bound. And there are plenty of married folk here who can testify that you are bound. So he says that there are positive and negative. So here's what you have. Here's your choice. Your choice is slavery with sex or celibacy with freedom. Those are your choices. Those are your options. Okay? And a lot of married folk who have slavery don't have that much sex. So it may not be all of that up in there. What he is saying is, I don't want singles to miss the benefit of singlehood. I don't want them to miss freedom while waiting for slavery or being bound. Okay? Are being bound. I don't want them to miss. Many Christian singles are missing out on the glory of singlehood, hoping for marriage. Paul is going to make a big deal about marriage. Marriage is great, but he doesn't want singles to miss out on the blessing of being God single. He says, with God, being in the single. Look, he says in verse 28, but if you marry, you have not sinned. If a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I'm trying to spare you. Ain't that the truth? Paul says, when you get married, you gonna be in trouble. He says, I'm trying to spare you from trouble. I need some married couples to testify to some singles, especially those who've never been married, because those who have already know it. There is trouble, because what you think you get on the front end isn't what you wind up with every day. And so you have to deal with trouble. Paul says, while you are single, I'm trying to spare you from the trouble that comes when you are married, because there are troubles in relationships. And he says, I'm trying to spare you. He says, you've not sinned. There's nothing wrong with getting married. But right now, I'm trying to spare you from the extra responsibility, the extra burden, the extra action, the extra difficulties that come when you get married. He wants you to think positively, and he doesn't want you to, what he calls, seek a wife. In other words, he doesn't want you just going out there, just trying to find somebody. And then he continues in verse 29. He says, but I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on, those of you who have wives should be as those who have had none. Those who weep as those who don't weep, rejoice as those who do not rejoice, those who buy as those who do not possess. And then he makes his point in verse 31. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away. He says, if you are a frustrated single, you're not looking at time right. He says, you're not looking at time right. The form of this world that is passing away. In other words, he says, I don't want you to think with a temporal mindset. I don't want you to lose sight of heaven because you're trying to maximize earth. What he's saying is, I want to make sure that your perspective is coming from above and not the pressure folk are putting on you here below. Oh, you 35, you ain't married yet? When you going to find you somebody? You got parents. When am I going to get some grandkids? So you got all this pressure on you to conform to this world about something that's passing away. That's why he's writing this chapter specifically to singles, although he talks to marriage too. He wants to shift your perspective, because what you look for or how you look for it will affect how you feel about it. When you have God's view, he says, and you don't make more of this thing than it was meant to be. See what the world does and the television does and entertainment does and your guy friends do and your girlfriends do is they make a bigger deal of it than God makes. So then you feel pressure to conform to the world because they've given a value system God does not have. God's value system, as you'll see in a moment, is that if you are the right kind of single, you are just fine. You're not a second-rate citizen, a second-class citizen, and in fact, you may not be missing out on all that, okay? As one lady came and told me, she said, I wish they'd have told me before I got married, because then ain't all that, all right? In other words, God wants you to have his heavenly perspective on your state, whatever that state may be, and not the earth's perspective about something that is passing away, so that your perspective is shifting, so that you're looking at things from the world standpoint. So he wants you to wait on the Lord. Don't just arbitrarily go looking for a mate to find a mate. He wants you to watch with the Lord, that is, see God's perspective on what's valuable in time and not just what the world is trying to squeeze you and press you into. And then he wants you to get busy and work for the Lord. Now watch this. He does this extended section in verse 32. I want you to be free from concern. One who's unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin, because many women wouldn't be virgins, but the virgin, is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. husband. Therefore, I say this for your benefit, not to put a restraint on you. I'm not trying to keep you from getting married, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. Now, there's a whole lot here. He makes the most important point to singles that you ever want to hear. It's one you won't like, but it's one that will change everything about your life as a single Christian. He says a married person is, by virtue of being married, divided. They are divided. They've got loyalties. They got to please the wife, and they got to please the Lord, and they got to work it out between the two. They are constantly going back and forth because of the nature of the relationship forces the division. He says, but the single Christian is to be undivided. Now watch this. The reason why there's so many frustrated singles is that they are experiencing as a single what they only should be experiencing if they're married. They're divided. See, God doesn't expect you to be a single thinking about him and thinking about a husband. You're not supposed to be worried about a husband till you get one to worry about. If he hadn't given you one to worry about, leave him alone. If he hadn't given you her to worry about, leave her alone because she doesn't exist. He says, but the moment you are divided, you have let your singlehood get in the way of God's purpose. You've let your singlehood get in the way of God's kingdom. You've let your singlehood get in the way of your well-being because you're spending half your time thinking about when am I getting married, watching, looking at wedding dresses, watching programs on television about folk who getting married, feeling frustrated being around your married girlfriends, when you are supposed to be undivided, undistracted. You ought to have a spiritual focus. That doesn't mean heavenly focus like in the ethereal realm. It means that you are to seek to maximize your singlehood for the advancement of God as God develops you for the advancement of his kingdom, for the betterment of yourself, and you're not to let something that you don't have own you. Here's the question every Christian single should ask. God, how do you want to use me in the state I'm in till you change my state for your maximum purpose? That is the question every single Christian should ask and see God's answer on. Because when God answers that question, while the desire to be married will stay there, the domination of marriage won't be there because you will be undistracted. He says, I want to every single, every Christian single, undistracted devotion to the Lord. That is fulfilling your divinely ordained purpose. And every Christian has one. Every single Christian has one. God wants to use whatever he's given you undistracted. So don't let married folk distract you from being a maximized single. Because you are first class in God's point of view. And he's going to show you that in just a moment. But what God wants you and I to know right now, that marriage has its place, but it is not to dominate you as a single. You ought to have undistracted focus on the Lord. Now, he makes a statement in verse 37 I want to make a brief word about before we give our closing scripture. But he who stands firm in his heart, being under no constraint, but has authority over his own will, and is decided in his own heart to keep his own virgin daughter, he will do well. Now, what's interesting is in your Bible, the word daughter should be italicized. That means it was not in the original text. They added it to try to finish out the sentence, to make the sentence make sense in English. And they added it because the word daughter is used earlier in the passage. Okay? But if you leave the word daughter off, that's italicized in your Bible, it would say simply that to keep his own virgin. So it could equally refer to a boyfriend-girlfriend kind of situation, not necessarily a daughter. If it's referring to a boyfriend-girlfriend situation, he says, if you're in a relationship and you're having trouble keeping your girl a virgin, in other words, things have gotten hot in the relationship, he says, marry her or break up with her, but don't mess her up.
The concept of the virgin was the veil. And it goes back to the temple. In the temple, there was a veil that separated the holy place from the holy of holies. There was this veil that came down because the holy of holies was the private dwelling place of God. And there was a veil that hid that. So when the Bible talks about sex and talks about virgins, it talks about women and it talks about her body being the temple. When God created a woman, he created a veil. He created a veil because to penetrate the veil is to penetrate the holiest place of all. See, it was designed to reflect the temple. So what God is saying is, if you're in this relationship and you know you're not going to be able to keep from having sex, then you should marry her. Or you should not continue the relationship, but what you shouldn't do is jeopardize her. Why? Because then you're jeopardizing someone who's going to ultimately belong to somebody else. And you're not free to use her and mess over her and then desert her. So he wants men, in particular this case, to take this very, very seriously. Then he comes down in his final point. And says, a wife is bound to her husband as long as her husband lives. 39 says, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry whomever she wishes only in the Lord. He says, if you are married, you're bound, okay, unless your husband dies. Now, a husband can die in one of two ways. Okay, he dies physically. That's one way. Or he can die spiritually. That is, fail to fulfill his responsibility, therefore giving you legal grounds for divorce, biblical grounds for divorce. God has biblical grounds for divorce, which creates a death in the marriage. So he may be, or she may be alive physically, but not spiritually because of a failure to abide by God's guidelines. Now, he says, if the mate dies, you are free to marry, but only in the Lord. Now, he said a lot about fathers in this passage, because in the Bible, the father covered the daughter, okay? It was the job of the father to cover the daughter from male predators. But let's say you're a female and you don't have a father. Paul says in chapter 4, verse 15, he says, I am your father. He says to the church, I am your father. So the church should act as a covering, particularly for single women, hold men responsible, but particularly for single women, to make sure they're not ripped off by fools. So ladies, when it's time for you to get married, find a father. That is, a spiritually responsible churchman, if you don't have a biological one who's spiritual, who will make sure that that man understands his responsibility to cover you once you're released to him. Because a woman is supposed to be covered by a man, not abused by a man, not hit by a man, not cussed out by a man, not pushed around by a man, not being mistreated by a man. That's not what you are entering this into. And he needs to look in the eyes of another man who holds him accountable for his responsibility to the woman. Because you're not a floor cloth to be walked on or used. He says in verse 40, but in my judgment, opinion means judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. So watch this. He says that the happiest folk in church should be the singles. That's what he said. He said, if she wants to get married, it's fine. Just only in the Lord. But in my judgment, which is based on the Spirit of God, he said, she is happier if she's single. So ladies, if you want to get married, understand you're giving up some happiness. I feel your pain, She is happier if she is single, he says. So he says singleness is the happier position to be in. He says there's nothing wrong with getting married. He says, marry in the Lord. That's my only criteria. But when it comes to happiness, he says you can't beat singlehood. So if you are single, you're not in the lesser position. You're in the higher position. You're not in the reduced position. You're in the exalted position. And that's why divorce is so high, because married people want to be single again. If you're an amateur bowler, that means you go up there and there are all these balls on the rack to choose from, you know, different colors, different sizes, you know, the three holes in them are different, you know. So what you do is you keep messing around with them till you find the one you want. And you go, you bowl. You may not even wait for that one to come back. You just go get another one. Just be rolling gutter ball after gutter ball. Just gutter ball. You go get another one. If you're a serious bowler, you got a custom-made ball. See, you got a ball that was made for your fingers. It was made for your style. It fits into your bag. Have you ever noticed that the balls on the rack, everybody using them? Everybody using them. Any old body can just come up and take, I want this one today. Boom. I ain't messing with that one no more. Get another one. Boom. I ain't messing with that one no more. You notice the ones on the rack all chipped up and broke and cracked and all of that, because everybody been messing with them. But if you got a custom-made ball, nobody better not touch that. That's been made with me in mind. God don't expect you to be just handled up and used up by everybody who can get close to you and grab you, because you're a custom-made Christian and you deserve a custom-made mate, and you deserve somebody where God has put them together with you in mind. But if you are living undistracted, you'll hear his voice when he tells you your bowling ball is ready.
So single, you can be victorious while you wait. You can see God's hand in your life so that you live victoriously. And we have a whole lot of resources that can equip you to do that. We've got the booklet, Living Single. We also have the book, Kingdom Man, Kingdom Woman. What does it look like to become God's man, God's woman? Remember, before Adam and Eve ever got married, they were single, and they had to come under the rule of God right where they were. So we have these and so many other family-related resources available to you simply by logging on to TonyEvans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222, and we'll be glad to get the resources out to you that you need for your own spiritual development. We're here to serve you, and we love doing just that. We also need your support, because your generosity equips us to keep serving you. God bless you. Thank you for the privilege. Be with you again next time.